Dear radio friends, in the troubles of life, have you ever asked, where is God and what is he doing? At some point in life, every believer is going to ask those two questions. Where is God and what is he doing? It may be from a pit of deep depression that we ask, where is God? Maybe we are suddenly stricken with grief or disease and we ask, what is God doing? Maybe we see a wave of affliction come on a friend and they're overwhelmed and we want to comfort them, but we hardly know what to say because we don't know where God is in this or what God is doing. Or maybe we witness immense human suffering in war or after a tsunami or earthquake or tornado and we wonder, where is God and what is he doing? These are the two questions that Job, under the heavy burden of affliction, wrestles with in Job chapter 23. By now, if you've been following this series on the life of Job, you're familiar with Job's suffering. Perhaps no human, apart from Christ on the cross, has ever experienced such grief, pain, and rejection. In one day, Job's 10 dear children were all killed. On that same day, Job lost all his wealth. Soon after this, Job was smitten with a miserable disease that disfigured his body and caused him immense physical and mental pain. Then also Job received no love and support from his closest friends. Instead, his wife derided him for his trust in God, and his friends accused him of hypocrisy and said that God was punishing him. All alone, in poverty, grief, pain, and rejection, Job has only one thing to cling to, his God. He believes and confesses that God is sovereign over his circumstances. He trusts that God brings these things on him out of love, and he has hope beyond this life in the glorious resurrection of the body and eternal life in the presence of God. But even though he has this faith and hope, still Job wrestles with these two questions. Where is God? And what is he doing? We see this here in Job chapter 23. In verse 3, Job says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come to his seat." Note that in his affliction, Job is not looking for happiness, peace, or even relief, but rather, he's looking for God himself, that I might find him. He's not looking for blessing, but the one who gives blessing. He's not searching for comfort, but for the comforter. Job is saying, if I knew where he was, I would go to him. In verses 8 and 9, Job says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." By this, Job means that in prayer he searches God out in every direction, but God doesn't seem to answer his prayers. And so Job wrestles with the question, where is God? And then too, he wrestles with the other question, what is God doing? We see that in verses 3 through 7, where Job tells us why he wants to find God. He says, that I might even come to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words that he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Job is asking here for a hearing with God. He wants to lay out all the evidence and get an explanation. His so-called friends are saying that God is punishing him, but Job is not convinced. And so he wants to ask God, what are you doing? He wants an explanation. Why all this suffering in my life? And so this is Job's struggle, these two questions. Where is God? And what is God doing? Now it's important for us to see that every believer will struggle with those two questions. You mustn't think that you are not a child of God just because you wrestle with these questions. Yes, sometimes the unbeliever will ask similar questions. For example, in Psalm 42 verse 10, David complains, "As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" There's the unbeliever asking the question, where is God? But he doesn't ask it because he's looking for God, but rather it's a taunt against David in his affliction. When the unbeliever says, where is God? He's attacking the truths of the sovereignty and the mercy of God. Or you have another example in Psalm 73, verse 11, where the ungodly says, "How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?" This is Job's other question. Does God know what he's doing? But whenever the unbeliever asks this, he does it as an observer of someone else's trouble. When he goes through trouble himself, he doesn't look to God, but he runs from God. He hides himself because he's terrified of the wrath of God. As Job wrestles with these two questions, we see the glow of the ember of his faith. When he asks, "Where is God?" he expresses his deepest agony as well as his greatest longing. More painful than any of his grief or poverty or physical pain and rejection is this, that he cannot find God. This is his darkest hour. Where is God? He longs for God, and that desire is born out of his faith. In Psalm 13, David expresses it this way, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" This is the experience of the believer. We see Job's faith also in his other question. Why is God doing this? Now we have to be very careful here. It's not always right to question God's purposes. Later in the book, God himself rebukes Job for doing this. And we must remember that God is under no obligation to give a full explanation to us for what he does to us in our lives. His ways are always higher than ours. But there is a right way to ask this question, and it's this: to confess that even though I don't know where God is and what God is doing, God does know these things. That's what Job comes to in verse 10. And we should notice the first word here. Job says, "But he knoweth." Job is saying, "I don't know. I don't know where God is. I don't know what God is doing. But God knows. My knowledge is finite. I cannot understand. But God knows. God understands." That's the important and the comforting truth here. This is what we need to cling to in our suffering and when we wrestle with the same questions as Job. Where is God? What is he doing? Here's the answer in verse 10. "He knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." God knows where I am, and God knows what he is doing. The way that I take refers to the God-ordained path that we must walk through this life to glory. It includes both the events of our life and the conduct of our life. God knows every detail of our lives because in love he has planned and laid them out. In Psalm 1 verse 6, "The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." In Psalm 139 verse 3, "Thou art acquainted with all my ways." For God's people, that's a very comforting thought. God has an intimate and personal knowledge of my way. It may seem to us sometimes that God is far off, but that's only our experience. It's not the reality. The reality is that God is always with us, guiding us and holding us by the hand. In Psalm 73, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." God has mapped out every step that we must walk through this life, and He holds us by the hand. He guides us step by step on the path that inevitably leads for His people to glory. He knows the way that I take. The word "know" in the Bible includes the idea of love. And so God, in His eternal love, planned out the unique way for every one of His children through this life to glory. He knows the way that I take. But also, Job means He knows the conduct of my life. In verses 11 and 12, Job says, "My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." Job is saying that by God's grace, he is going to continue in the path of righteousness. He is going to hold his steps. He's not going to leave the way of obedience, even if that leads him through difficult and fiery trials. You see two things here. In part, this is Job's answer to his so-called friends. He's saying to them, "You don't know, but God knows. God knows my heart and my walk. He knows that it's right with Him. God is not punishing me. He knows." But also we see here in Job a resolve, despite difficulties, to persist in godliness. "I'm going to be faithful in my responsibilities and in obedience. I'm not going to use my troubles as an excuse to become slack in my walk with God. I may have difficulties, but I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to keep on reading the Bible. I'm going to persist in prayer. I'm going to pursue fellowship with God's people." This is very important for us to hear too. Too often we use our troubles as an excuse for spiritual laziness, and then the result is that things only get worse for us. We spiral into despair. Job realizes that he needs now, more than ever, to be walking close to the Lord. He knows that he's vulnerable. He knows that Satan is close by. And so he resolves to walk in the way of the Lord. And he says, "He knows the way that I take." And not only does God know my way in difficult times, but God has a purpose. God knows what He's doing. Job describes that in the last part of the verse when he says, "When He has tried me." The afflictions and troubles of life are God-sent trials. Now, what's the purpose of our trials? Well, God doesn't send trials to His people to see whether they have faith, nor does God send trials to test whether our faith is strong enough. The story of Job makes this plain. God is confident that Job has faith and that Job's faith will remain. In the beginning of the book, Satan is proud and prominent, and he says to God, "If you just take everything away from Job, he'll curse thee to thy face." And Satan starts leaning on Job, bending Job, testing him with trials to see whether he'll break. But as the book progresses, Satan becomes silent, and he disappears from the scene. But God remains on the foreground, both in the confessions of Job and in God's own voice at the end. Through trials, God proves the power of His grace in the life of Job. And that's a reason that God sends trials into our lives too, to demonstrate in the lives of His people the power of His preserving grace. And Job is given to us in Scripture as a great example of this. But also, God sends trials for our own profit. Job says, "When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." The trials are God's way of refining us. The comparison here is to a refiner of metal. After a rock has been found in which there is gold, the refiner makes a fire, and he liquefies the rock in order to separate the impurities from the gold. And we are a lot like that rock. After God, through the work of regeneration, makes us new creatures in Christ, there still are in us remnants of sin. And God sends us fiery trials to burn away the dross. In our trials, God is always teaching us something about ourselves, about our weaknesses, our selfishness, our self-sufficiency, our pride, and much more. And all those things are exposed. And as they're exposed, we improve as believers. We become stronger in our faith. We're purified through our suffering. Maybe you can think of situations in your own life like this. Everything was going well, and you thought that you were very strong as a believer, and then through sickness or sudden poverty or grief, God brought you to your knees, and you learned some things about yourself. You saw areas in your life where you needed to grow. And realizing these things, you did grow as a believer. You were sorry for your sin. You matured in your faith. You walked closer with the Lord. The trials of life are opportunities for spiritual growth. And that means that when we go through a trial, we should ask ourselves, what is God teaching me here about myself? Maybe you get into a bitter dispute with someone and it gets very messy and painful. Let's say it's an argument with a close family member. Those are the most painful disputes. In the midst of it, you should ask, what is God teaching me about myself? About my pride? About my lack of love and understanding? About my unwillingness to be wrong? What's He teaching me about myself? And then when you learn those things, you need to acknowledge them and repent and seek forgiveness. This is the burning off of sin, the refining process. That's what God is doing in our trials. And when we learn to see that as believers, we will see God's love in the trials that come our way too. And we will learn as well to be thankful for the troubles that God sends our way. In Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "We glory in tribulations also." Why? Because they're profitable. We know, he says, that tribulation works patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope. God sends the trials to increase our faith in all these areas. Job puts it this way, "When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He means purified, shining gold. This is God's purpose in trial. He's making gold. He's burning and pressing on Job here to turn him into a precious, beautiful, shining example of faith amidst trial. We still look at Job today and marvel at the faith and patience of Job under his trial. And one of the greatest testimonies that a believer can ever give is the testimony that he gives amidst suffering. It becomes a shining example of faith in the sovereign care of God. This chapter calls us to submit to the sovereign purposes of God. I don't always know why. I can't always see God's purposes. But I believe that God knows. And I will bow under my trials and worship Him and wait. God is working all things in my life for my eternal profit. It's never the case that God doesn't know. It's never the case in my life as a child of God that God doesn't know what He's doing. We can have the confidence of this because Jesus Christ himself went to the cross. And he, when he suffered on the cross, didn't know. He didn't know the comfort and the presence of God. He was forsaken of God. He was forsaken so that we, as God's people, would never be forsaken. Does God know? Does he know what I'm going through? He knows the way that I take. Does God know what he's doing? Yes, he always knows what he's doing. He knew what he was doing when he poured his wrath on his son on the cross, when even Jesus didn't know. And he knows in our lives too what he's doing. As you struggle with the trials of life, say this. Say this of God. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Let's pray. O God, thou hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. And Father, though thy way is often hidden from us, we are sure of thy love. We know that thou art acquainted with all our ways. We are sure of thy grace that will sustain us, and that in love thou dost work all things for our eternal profit. Help us, we pray, in our troubles, for Jesus' sake. Amen.